with you.
With
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came around him, and he began to teach them. How blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, they shall be shown mercy. And blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed too the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of evil falsely against you on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward will be great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. The gospel reading which we have today comes from the beginning of chapter 5 in the book of Matthew, very familiar to us as the Beatitudes. It's the opening part of what is familiar to us as the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount goes on for 3 chapters in the Gospel of Matthew. It has a parallel in chapter 6 in the Gospel of Luke, but it's very brief in Luke. It's very lengthy in the Gospel of Matthew. And it begins here with the Beatitudes, very familiar to us. So let me look at the text of this Gospel today and wondered the impact the Word of God might have in the way we live our lives as followers of Jesus Christ. There are 3 words that appear here that, in order to understand the impact of the gospel, we must understand the meaning of these words. Blessed or happy are the poor in spirit is not the best translation of the Greek. The Greek word is makarios, and it is a very broad application for our discussion, which is brief. We'll settle for wellness, a sense of fulfillment, a sense of meaning. There's a certain finality in the way we feel in this concept of makarios. The second word which appears here is the prophet. The prophet, as you know, was never sent to tell about the future. All the prophecies in the Hebrew scriptures were all for the present day. Elijah wasn't to speak about the future. He was speaking about the moment in which he lived. So to misunderstand prophecy is to speak to it in terms of the future. Prophecy is meant to speak to the moment in which we live. The third word that comes up here is metanoia. It first appears in chapter 4 in the Gospel of Matthew, and it's translated into English as repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And this comes just before the Sermon on the Mount. It comes in chapter 4. This begins in chapter 5. The Greek word is metanous, metanoia, meta meaning above or beyond, but literally it means change. Nous is a Greek word for mind. So Jesus, announcing his kingdom, said, repent, metanoia, change your mind. Now, sometimes it's easier to change our behavior, but to change somebody's mind can be quite a challenge. And that is the invitation of the Word of God today. Richard Rohr, looking at Scripture, makes this point, which is insightful, that there are two functions, two energies that run through our discussion of religion. One is the priestly energy, or the priestly function, and the second one is the prophetic revelation in God's Word. The priestly function is the one which is easier to understand, perhaps, and more popular. It's the one who calls the people to an assembly, who calls the people to prayer. The priestly function is to tell the stories, to remember the past, to reverence a tradition. That's the priestly function. And Jesus fulfills that function when he calls people to the mountain to honor a Jewish tradition. The mountain in Hebrew tradition is always the place of revelation. It's where God speaks to us definitively. Go back to the book of Exodus and you have Moses on the mountain and God speaks to him and gives to him the commandments. Happens on the mountain, Mount Sinai. In the book of Kings, you have Elijah who is fleeing for his life and he goes to Mount Horeb, which is Mount Sinai. And there God appears to him and God speaks to him. Therefore, the community which Jesus calls in the Gospel of Matthew is a Jewish community. This gospel is written for a Jewish Christian church, the followers of Jesus who were Jewish. Therefore, the notion of Jesus going up to the mountain to preach was very important in the minds and the understanding of those who listened to the Sermon on the Mount. The second thing to honor the Jewish tradition is that Jesus sits down, because the rabbi always sits when he's teaching. And whenever you read the Gospel of Matthew, and it says Jesus sat down, Matthew means take special notice, because now he's in a teaching posture. So honoring his tradition, and many times in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus will quote the Torah, and we'll deal with that in a moment. So Jesus is honoring the Hebrew tradition in which he is formed in the priestly manner in which we must understand this gospel. The second one is the prophetic. And in order to have a balance and a wellness in religion, you have to have the priestly, the assembly, the calling of the people, but you must have the prophetic function. The prophetic function is to entertain a critique from within, to change your mind, to look for new revelation. That's a prophetic thing, and it's spoken to us in the present age. So let me look at this in terms of understanding the gospel. In the old dispensation, born out of the Torah, when somebody was prosperous, it was a sign of God's favor. When a couple had many sons where their name would continue, this was a sign of God's blessing. To win the war was a sign of the presence of God in our midst. That's the Jewish tradition we find in the Old Testament. To wipe out the enemy is a sign of God, the power of God in our lives, the power of Yahweh in the life. So it's an extraordinary sense of triumph and accomplishment. It's an expression of power, the power of God working through the people. Now that's the old dispensation. Read this one. Jesus says, I have a new law, a new Israel, a new understanding of what it means to praise and honor God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, not the triumphant, not the rich, the famous. Blessed are people who are humble, who are gracious, the poor in spirit, who are open and welcoming and generous in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Read on, we'll say, blessed are they who mourn. To mourn with others is to live out the gospel. Read through the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it said of old, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but Jesus says, not so. You must forgive not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. If somebody wants your tunic, give him your shirt as well, the shirt off your back. Go the extra mile. If somebody presses you into service for 1 mile, go the extra mile. Turn the other cheek. It's all in the Sermon on the Mount. This is a new dispensation. It's a new Israel. It's a new commandment. It's a commandment to bind a community together through love, not through power, not through institution, but through the bonds of relationship in love. That's the new Israel that Jesus announced. If you read through the Sermon on the Mount, you will find that in literal and convincing detail. So what does this mean to us in the present age? If we are to be a prophetic people, what is the prophet saying to us today? The prophet is telling us that we must mourn with the people of Garfield Park, that we must be concerned about our nation where children are killed with the guns which are easily available. The prophet says, even reasonable gun control should be a conversation. The prophet says, we cannot forget Tyree Nichols, a man who was beaten to death in public, on record, with many who are watching. This is part of who we are. The prophet says, this is not acceptable. We have a voice to speak here. We have something to say. The prophet calls us from within. The prophecy works from within the community. Doesn't come from outside, it comes within. The prophet within the community says, we must take a second look and a serious openness to the place of women in our church. The prophets will demand that we reconsider many of our rules and regulations that dominate and exclude. Think again, says the prophet, about how open we are to LGBTQ plus people, not to tolerate, but to celebrate their presence. They're part of our community. And the prophet will say, those people which we exclude sometimes in the church today are the very ones that Jesus invited to dine with him. The prophet says, we must think again. And of course, the prophet, it says so here, will be persecuted. Prophets are not popular. We don't celebrate prophets by and large. We ignore prophets. Look back in the history of the church. Go back to 16th century, you'll find St. John of the Cross, a reformer, and the institution put him in jail. I was reading recently about Sister Mary McGillop, an Australian nun, and she was excommunicated by the bishop, what he called insubordination. And now she was canonized 10 years ago. Because the prophet didn't speak back there, the prophet is speaking now. In recent times, Dorothy Day, Martin Luther King. Who are the prophets of our day? Nelson Mandela. Who disturbs us? Who demands that we think again? Who says, change your mind? That's the prophet. And Jesus says, repent, change your mind. The kingdom of God is at hand. I was thinking about Tyre de Chardin. He was silenced. And now the popes refer to him by way of his wisdom. So somewhere in following Jesus Christ, we have to change our minds. And that can be disturbing. That's why prophets are not very popular. They disturb us. So listen to the word of God today. Think in your own journey of life, as I must think in my journey of life. In what area must I change my mind in order to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ? Amen.